Good day, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Fairway Fit Golf Podcast, where two friends get together to talk about how we are trying to look good, feel good, and play good. Let's go. All right, welcome back, Fairway Fit fans. This is Brad, and I have Greg here with you. It's been about 10 days since we've been on the mics. Greg, how we doing? It's good to see you. I feel like it's been a while.
It has. We're back to busy work life and not seeing each other at least once a week like we were the entire summer.
Yeah, I can definitely say, I think I said it in our last episode, I feel like I'm on rinse and repeat right now. Every day, get up, do the daily grind, and then I got youth stuff coming in afterwards and then going from there. So we have been really busy. But how has been your golf? How has been your fitness? Fill us in.
As I stated last episode, I was rededicating myself and getting back to my roots and getting back to being active. I've started a new workout regimen, switching things up. I think always when it comes to you feel like you take a time off and you feel unmotivated, there's nothing more motivating than switching things up and getting back to something or getting to something new. I changed up my whole workout regimen as far as lifting, but I did bring back the mile a day challenge. So I restarted it and I am on day two now of that just to furthermore keep me motivated moving forward.
Yeah, I know you've been getting back into the swing of things. Had a little bit, I don't know, maybe just a little downhill slide for you. The one thing I know, I've known you long enough that no matter what, you take a week off, 2 weeks off, you're not going to lose everything that's going on there. You are going to make sure that you are staying as fresh as you can. May not get the workout you want exactly the way you want, but let's talk golf real quick. I'm going to have to tell everybody, I got a little bit of a pretty upsetting text message from you over the weekend after your round. I don't know if it was Friday.
It was Friday.
And I can't read the whole thing because we're trying to keep our episodes as clean as we can. But it started off with I fill in the word suck. Started out feeling like today was going to be a good day and I blew up. Then the next message, I don't know how long ago later, I'm not sure what I was doing, but it was another I suck and I'm taking lessons and this fill in the blank there that I left out there. So,
well, I'll start it off as this.
Fill us in. How's the golf?
The golf took a turn for the worst on Friday, and it had the only saving grace that kept me on that course, because it was just the perfect storm, was that it's my all-time favorite course. It's Nag's Head Golf Links down in Outer Banks. The family and I took a little, pretty much a 2.5-day trip down to Outer Banks. Laura's parents were having a house down there and free place to stay and get the kids to the beach one last time. So we took advantage of it. And obviously I told Laura that if I was going to drive 12 hours and only be at the beach for 36 hours, that I was going to at least play golf once. Booked around at Nag's Head Golf Links on Friday afternoon. We got in at about 12:45 a.m. on Friday morning. Slept for a little bit. Obviously, the kiddies woke up early because they were at the beach. They wanted to go to the beach, so we went to the beach all morning. Came home, got them showered up, and then Grandma and Grandpa and Laura took the kids to the aquarium, and I went to the course. Got there pretty darn early, I will say.
Hold on here. I've been to that aquarium. That's actually a pretty good aquarium.
Yeah, well, Nag's Head Golf Links is better than the aquarium. If you've been to one aquarium, you've been to them all. The sea turtles, a couple sharks, probably a sea lion or sea otters, and maybe one of those shiny silverfish swimming around. The
big yeah, I guess you're saying that I don't really remember what was there. I just remember it was a good
exactly. Thing. Yeah, but one, I realized that in the midst of packing the car on Thursday night and chasing after two kids that were trying to run around, I neglected to pack my golf shoes. So I had to go into the pro shop and buy a pair of golf shoes because the only pair of shoes I brought were a pair of Hey Dudes. So I'm the proud owner of a new pair of golf shoes. Not that I needed them. That's, I think, maybe pair 11, 12 of golf shoes that I have.
Yeah, but I was going to say, you're a shoe guy. probably didn't really hurt you that much to get a new pair.
They're really not my style. I can put them in the rotation. They're not really my cup of tea.
I would take them off you if you didn't wear junior sizes.
Yeah, some people their feet are really big. Some people their feet are really small. Maybe I get a discount because I wear size 9. size 9 is actually, if you look it up.
I thought you were size 8. No, I thought you was more down to the 8s.
Size 9, I think, is the most popular shoe size in the world.
Are you stuffing your shoes? Yeah. Are you stuffing your shoes?
Three pairs of socks. So I buy a new pair of golf shoes. I go out and I putt. I figured, you know what? I was like, my swings felt really good. I'm going to do some putting here, feel out the greens, because I've played this course and I've actually played it really well. I do believe, actually, I want to say that the last 70s round that I had was at this course. And it was now three years ago. It was definitely two summers, but it was a 79, and I shot well on that course. It is a par 71, just to let everybody know. And it's not a long course. It's a short course. It's right around 6,000 yards, and I think it's 59 something or something like that from the Blues. But it is challenging off the tee. You have to play shots, and there's a lot of risk reward type stuff that goes on with that. And I'm a single. I get paired up with another single, and I don't know. People in the comments tell me about this, but if you're a single and you're going to go out and play, you got to be ready to mingle. If I'm being real here, you got to be able to talk. You got to be able to like not be awkward.
Did you share cards?
No, we did not.
Okay.
But I saw this guy warming up, and in the back of my head, I told myself, I was like, I hope I don't get paired up with that guy. He just looked like he was really serious and that he was prepping for major number 5. He looked like he was prepping, and it was 2-2 going into game 5, and he was trying to prep.
Did you get his name?
I did on the first tee, but that might have been one of the 13 words that he talked to me the entire
round. Okay, what was his first name?
I do not know. Can't remember.
I was going to see if our fans can hunt him down.
No.
If we get him on the mic.
I do know he was from Richmond.
Okay.
I do know that he went to Liberty College. Liberty University.
I'm with you.
I found that out on the 18th green.
I mean, he's a Christian. He should have been.
He was zoned in.
Okay, he's locked in.
Just zoned straight. No talk, no nothing. Just, I'm here to... Supposedly, he got right out of the car and walked onto the green to putt.
Was he enjoying any high noons on the course?
No, absolutely not.
Absolutely not. He did go to Liberty. Yeah. Although, our other buddy with Liberty, who we've posted videos about...
For what? Two semesters?
Long enough. That's probably what
I mean. I also went to Carson Newman College, and that's a rather religious school. But you know, we won't talk about that.
I didn't know that. I know you went to 9 different colleges.
Yeah, that's where I wrestled at.
Okay,
but he looked the part, and I was like, all right, he looks like a player. First tee shot, and I had the wind was battling that day as well. Tough course, tough conditions. Mine went a little bit right. I was still live. I put it on the green. Two putted for a par and moved on. Basically did the same. Then I got in my cart and started driving to 2. And as I get to 2, I look back and he's still putting on number 1 green. And I was like, we got groups behind us that are coming pretty quick.
Really? Was he even like good putt, good shot? Did he
there? Like, I think that was maybe one, maybe two of the 18 words that he talked to me the entire round.
Wow.
But he's a player. Like we got done with the round and I literally asked him, I was like, man, I was like, you had a solid round. I said, what'd you shoot? And he was like, tell you the truth, I didn't even keep score. But in my mind, keeping score just while I was watching, he was either -1 or even on the day and was a player. Wasn't very long with it. I didn't see him hit driver but once, and I did outdrive him on that. Yep. The only thing that I hit well that day was driver. And
did you tell him good shot after you hit your driver by him?
I might have said good shot before I hit mine.
Let's face it, it's honors at all. Okay.
But
yeah, so it sounded like you started off halfway decent in the back.
T-ball wasn't horrible. It was just every approach shot, every single wedge, I was either long or short. I was short on everything. I don't know why. The greens weren't super fast, but they weren't slow. It just didn't bring my A game that day, and was overall frustrated with the outcome, especially because I actually felt really good going to the course. I actually, you know, was feeling loosey-goosey. I wasn't tight. Felt good and just didn't show up and couldn't really figure out exactly what was going on during the round either. I was just like, I do not understand what I'm doing wrong.
Well, Johnny's not talking to, and I think I'm just going to call him Johnny because I don't know his name. And attaboy Johnny, as he was shooting an even round, one under round. If the guy's not talking to you, then you feel like you're putting more pressure on yourself. It doesn't really make you relax or enjoy.
Yeah, I mean, even the 7 Miller Lights weren't helping.
Yeah, did you offer Johnny a Miller
Lite? No, I did not. He was a straight water bottle guy.
Really?
Would have been better if I smelled the water bottle. He was drinking straight vodka the entire time.
Straight vodka. And shot 100. That would have been pretty impressive.
It might have been a holy water bottle. I don't know.
If Johnny is preparing for the mid-AM or something that's coming up at his club, best of luck to Johnny.
He did play golf at Liberty.
Okay.
That's solid. But yeah, he's stroking it. It was very impressive.
Sounds like between fitness and golf, you're getting yourself back on the right page. I know it's been extremely busy for myself as well. Fitness-wise, I will say that's one thing I've been able to keep up with. I think I mentioned on the last show, I changed my routine. I'm up at 5:30 out the door by about 5:45, 5:50 to get my workout in before all my classes start. It's a little bit earlier than it has been in the past, so it's been a little bit of a change, but I definitely can feel that I need it. In the morning, it just gets my day going. It's nice to hit my step goal, which I know is not a major goal, but it's to hit my step goal by 10 o'clock. So I definitely don't complain with that. But I've been feeling good, a little tired. Sometimes I think the day's dragging. And like I said earlier, rinse and repeat during the week. Take my weekends off. I do try to get a longer run on the weekend, but honestly, 4 or 5 mile run right now seems a lot easier than what I'm trying to do at 5:30 in the morning every time. But other than that, golf has been hit or miss. My course has gone towards the winter hours, so now they're closing on Mondays. You can still go up there and play chip and putt, but the range itself isn't open. So I've been getting up there at least trying to putt and chip on Mondays. I got one day during the week where we do have nothing. I think on Mondays I go chip and putt, then I got to go pick the kids up from their classes they're doing in the evenings at church, and then on Thursdays I try to get out and play 9 holes if I can beat the high school team out. That means I got to get out of work rather quickly, beat them out, and then I try to get 9 more holes on the weekend.
Just talk to the high school coach and tell him to move practice back a half hour.
I did. So the other day I was like sprinting to the tee, and of course it was senior night, so all the parents were already waiting for the kids to come up from the range, and I'm like moving up from the parking lot, and he is like trying to play quickly. I was like, yeah, just do you mind moving the signs out of the way? I'm gonna play from the tips.
Well, at least you had an audience for your one tee shot.
Split the fairway too. It was a good ball. Can't say I actually played pretty well that round. I was 200 through 4 holes. No, 200 through 5 holes, and then 5 over through 4 holes.
Ouch.
So fell apart at the end. But that's how the waves have been doing.
Sounds like a Greg round.
It was a Greg. I had 2 holes that were Greg holes where you went. Oh, you usually make it 3. I was able to cut it at 2 and picked it up. But I really am focusing a little bit more about just enjoying the opportunities when I get out there and not stressing about score. I know I got to keep it up. I still got my handicap below 3. So even though the 9-hole rounds, I haven't been playing incredible golf or a lot of golf, I've been able to keep it pretty close. So don't know what's coming up next. Don't know how many rounds I'm going to get in the future. Right now,
I got some rounds coming up.
Yeah, you do. You've got some trips coming that I know you're trying to get some stuff in. But today's episode, we're going to do something a little bit different. We're actually going to split this into two. We're going to do a part of it today, and then a part will be in our next episode. And we're going to do something that we've actually talked about doing early on when we started the podcast this year. We're going to do a little bit of a round called What's in the Bag. And we're going to talk to Greg. I got a couple questions I want to talk to him, and he's going to tell us what type of equipment player he has, what he has in the bag. And this episode, and then on the following episode, we will reverse roles, and Greg will figure out what's in my bag. Now, we know what we play. We talk equipment quite a bit. I wouldn't call us equipment snobs or equipment junkies, but we're not scared to know what's out there in the works, the new stuff that comes out. I can't say all of our stuff is new, but new to us works just as well. So let's go ahead and get it going. You go, Greg, I want you to give me a quick rundown of what current bag setup you got.
We'll start with just the bag. As everyone knows, I'm a Nike guy. So I do rock a Nike bag. It's 14-way top.
Beauty. Does Puma make a bag by chance?
No chance. I ain't buying a bag for that. But I have done my research on that.
So I love it.
Sit tight. I do have a Nike bag. It's white and black. It's beautiful. I play a majority of ping clubs, but I have a ping G410 plus driver. I do have it set to 9 degrees. I'm not a 6 or 5.5 or 4, whatever you're playing yours now.
It's an eight, but yeah.
Okay, it's an eight.
Yeah.
It was.
It's a nine.
At one point, it was down to a 6, I believe.
I think it was a 9 turned down to a 7.5, but I think I have it at an 8.
Gotcha. Driver, ping, G410 plus. I have the awesome Nike Covert Tour 3-wood that is still in my bag from
vintage.
It's a little vintage. Yeah. It's the red one. I get a lot of looks when I pull it out of the bag, but a buddy of mine gifted it to me and I hit it well. So that's the one that I haven't changed out. I do still have a fitting with our boy but in the works that whenever I want to come in and get fitted for the 3-wood, he'll do it for me.
So Nike Covert, is that the commercial where it's Roy and Tiger and they're just like landing every ball in a pen or a glass at the table? Or
that might be that one. Is that the Covert?
It's red, yes. Right?
Red.
If it was orange, it'd be perfect for you coming up in the fall. But all right, red. So we're at the Nike Covert, vintage, antique. Might need to put antique plates on that thing.
I mean, it's solid. I like it. I play.
You'd have hit it well recently. Well, last time we played you, I think I even talked you into hitting it.
That's the one thing that I tried to hit it on Nags at Golf Links and I lost it. It was gone.
Yeah, like you.
That was basically hitting like your one tee shot in major number 4.
Oh, that's not good. And you can't do that on the Covert. There's not much on the bottom.
No, there's nothing. I have two hybrids. I have a 3-hybrid G410 ping and a 4-hybrid G410 ping. I do not like the 4-hybrid. When I got fitted, I was done with my 4-iron from my previous set, and I decided to play with something new. I liked it during the fitting and pretty much have not liked it ever since. So I think that my next fitting, I probably will be going back to a true 4-iron and nix the 4-hybrid. My irons are G700s, also made by Ping.
There you go.
I have my wedges. I have a 54 and a 58 SM9s. Those were my Father's Day gifts from my two beautiful children, aka my wife, for this year. And then I play with a Odyssey White Hot OG Stroke Lab putter.
All right. So it sounds like you got.
I also play with used Pro VX1. Balls that I get from Drake Mallard on Facebook. Look him up. He's got the best 5A mint used balls for $1.75 a ball.
Oh, okay. Speaking of
free
ball,
plug for Drake.
There you go. Pro V1X, you said?
Yes, sir. And he carries a bunch of other ones too.
He does. I see that his list all the time. Is it recycled or refurbished?
No, it's basically, he lives on a golf course.
So it's recycled.
He walks his dogs. He picks up all the balls that people just leave. He washes them up, and he has thousands upon thousands of balls that he resells.
Okay. So they're recycled because refurbished, like I've heard they've done some crazy things where they'll like almost repaint different logos on the ball.
He says these are just basically cleaned up and he sorts them to be, he has 5A mint, 4A mint, 3A mint, whatever.
I love it. I've played a couple of them. I think you got me a batch when you went maybe about a year ago. Yeah, so they're actually not that bad. A couple logo balls, a couple extra logo balls.
Those people that see me rocking a new sleeve of balls every single time I play, and even if I lose five or six of them, those are just really just old sleeves of balls that I put the old used ones in and just make it look it. You got to fake it until you make it in this world.
I do. That is solid when you pull out a sleeve on the first hole all the time. Can't beat that. How often do you change or update your equipment? I know we've been playing for, 7, 8, 9 years now, if not 10 years. And I've seen you change one major change, but how often do you try to update equipment?
Usually when my bank account allows it, which isn't very often. I have had in my lifetime of playing golf, and I would say that's probably 20 some odd years, I have had a total of, this will probably be my fifth set of golf clubs, but that's like going from like cheap as can be. When I first started, it was basically a yard sale type set to buying like my first set for like maybe $150 and then like another set for $100. And then the last set I had before the pings was the Nike Steelheads that were probably $220 that I bought when they were like 2 years old and they were on sale.
Gotcha.
So really, I don't change very often. I'm not a person, do things grab my attention and grab my eyes? Yeah, I would love to have the brand new driver every single 2 to 3 years. But at the same time, if it's still working and still working, I will probably go get fit again when I finally maybe start playing well.
And maybe that's the issue. We get fitted, we just play well afterwards.
Nah, I played better when I first got fitted, and then somehow I lost my swing. I need to get my swing back and be playing more consistently and have a consistent swing before I go get fitted, because let's face it, equipment won't fix all issues.
New equipment doesn't always fix issues. Fitted equipment, I do think, helps tremendously.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk to one thing you did not mention. What kind of shafts are we playing?
I play S300s in my irons. In my old wedges, I had the S300 115 shafts. My shaft weight in my irons is 130. I played 115 with my wedges, but now with the SM9s, they're just a straight
flex wedge.
Wedge flex shaft. So nothing special there. I have, believe my driver is a 55 gram shaft, extra stiff. And my 3-wood is a 65 or 70 gram shaft, extra stiff. I can't tell you exactly what shaft that is. Like I said, that was gifted to me. But I have extra stiff shafts also in my 3 and 4 hybrid.
Yeah, I mean, your swing speed's what, 115, 16, 17?
Somewhere, yeah. Say,
I definitely would say I'd put you over the 110, but not at the 120. I'd say you're around that range. All right, so here's a tough question for you. What's your go-to club in that bag?
If I had to play with just one club?
No, just what's your go-to?
7-iron.
If you could drop the ball, 7-iron. I feel like that's a pretty common answer with a lot of people. 7, 8, something right around those lines. I'm glad you didn't say 5.
Now, the new set of clubs, it is the 7-iron. I love that thing.
All right, let's go back a little bit to our driver. You're hitting the Ping 410. Is that what you said?
Yes, sir.
You still liking it? How long have we had it?
I do like it. I've had it for about, I believe this is the 5th year that I've had it.
Okay.
I believe.
I do remember when you got... You basically got everything done at once.
Yeah,
if I remember.
I took an entire year's salary of coaching wrestling in Loudoun County, which is just so astronomically high, and blew it all on golf clubs.
Well, I wouldn't say blew it.
No.
Wisely invested.
I bought an entire new bag, except for the 3-wood.
Okay, so you're still hitting that, and you said you have the extra stitch shaft. You like the driver. I know Ping usually has a pretty forgiving driver. I've hit your driver plenty of times, and it seems to work pretty well for you. What about your irons? I know what I like about your irons. I've seen them. I've actually used them a fair amount of times. I actually taking them from you before and used them when you just got them. But what stands out? Why do you like your irons so much?
I like the weight of them. I am not a typical golf junkie in the fact where I a little bit of a muscle back look to them. I think that the thinner face blade looking, it's just, it freaks my eyes out. I will say I am very much so an eye test person when I look down on a club. I like my shaft and my driver is black and my head is black. So if it was like silver into black, it would look a little bit weird to me and it would, my ADHD would kick in and it would freak me out. So I do enjoy looking down at my head and sorry, getting off topic here. But at the same time, like it passes my eye test. It's something that like I feel confident standing over. I think that like when I've grabbed your clubs and I've put a ball down and looked down at them, it just makes me nervous of how small the head is and how I have to hit this perfectly in order to have a good shot.
Your irons are still the game improvement irons. They do have a little bit wider sole, a little bit more forgiving. And I actually like your irons because they do have, as much as they are the game improvement, they have that traditional look. They do have what more, to me, was is more like a blade look opposed to a cavity back. They still look it, even though they are game improvement. Like I said, a little bit wider, a little bit bigger, a little bit probably more forgiving. But they seem to play, like you said, the eye test. They're sharp-looking clubs. Wedges, SM9s. I think we actually play the same wedges now, something we both upgraded. What wedges did you have before that?
I had the CBX.
And that's Cleveland.
Yeah,
right?
Cleveland CBXs. They were also a thicker sole one. I liked them for a while, but after 5 seasons of playing with them, I couldn't get the ball to stop at all with them. And just every single wedge shot was felt forced and would roll out at the end. The SM9s are a lot thinner sole. I do play the D grind, and it's a 12-degree bounce on both 54 and 58.
You play the oxidized too, right?
Yes, they're the black oxidized ones, and which is weird because it's a silver shaft going into a black head, but basically they look great, and I can stop the ball again. I feel confident going after pins. It doesn't always work out in my favor because I haven't really dialed in my distances with them, because I would say I really haven't practiced. I really haven't had a practice session where I've just really solidly dialed in numbers with them. I know that what maxes are with them, but as far as like dialing in what a 3/4 swing is, what a half swing is, and dialing those in, it's really more so kind of I feel through on those when I'm playing now.
So what wedges do you have as far as degrees?
54 and 58.
54, 58. And what is, do you play 4 wedges in the bag?
I have a pitching wedge. I have the Ping has a utility wedge.
Gap wedge.
Which is the gap wedge. And then I have my 54 and 58.
I like it. All right, let's talk about the ever important club, the flat stick. Go back on, what do you play that? The Odyssey, what was it?
It was the Odyssey White Hot OG Stroke Lab.
And you still liking it?
I do. I had a Stroke Lab to begin with. And it was the original Stroke Lab, and the face on it was actually like, I guess Odyssey made one where it was basically like the face of it was hot glued on or whatnot. And it ended up bubbling on me, and I didn't even realize it for 2 rounds. And then I looked down after just a weird missed putt, and I was like, this is bubble. And it was probably 2 years after I bought the putter, and shout out to Odyssey. When I took a picture of it and sent it to them, they told me, give us your measurements on this and we'll send you a brand new putter and send this one back. And they actually didn't send me the same one. They sent me the upgraded one.
I like it. Now you are a little bit different than me. I can go with a couple different putters in a different year. I have been pretty good this year. I've stuck to my.
I did have a Scotty at one point. I loaned it to a friend to practice with, and I never got it back.
Still working on that. Still, it's actually in the other room next to my putting green. So, yeah. So we'll get to the number of putters I have next episode. Talk about brands. It seems like you've committed to Ping. Are you a Ping guy? If you were going to go fitted, is there a certain brand that you'd be looking for or looking to upgrade? Are you trying to stay with Ping?
Really, I am not brand loyal when it comes to equipment. I think that basically whatever I feel like I'm hitting and I'm hitting consistently, like I will change in a heartbeat. Like I love my Ping clubs. Like I love when I flush them and the feel of them. But at the same time, if I went and hit a TaylorMade or Titleist, or I went and hit a PXG or something like that, yeah. I went and hit something where I just felt that I was consistently the same, even if I felt like my swing was a little bit off and I was consistent ball flight and consistent distances, I would change. I don't care if I have a mixed bag. I don't care if I have the same bag. I'm not somebody that has to Ping everything. That's why I went with the Titleist wedges. That's why when I got fitted, our boy basically said, he was like, all of these seem to match up. And that was the ones that I were actually liking the entire time. And the numbers were the best. And
I like it.
And I just went with that.
Yeah, until we sign our first big deal with the brand, I think we're just going to play whatever we find.
When I went and got fitted, I was actually shopping nothing but TaylorMade's. I think it was the M5s or M6s that were coming out. And I was like, hey, I want to hit TaylorMade. And I hit TaylorMade, I hit TaylorMade, I hit TaylorMade, I hit some Callaways. And then he put me on the Ping and I was like, actually, I really like these.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's go through that fitting process. So I know, is this the first set that you've been fitted for? And if it was during that process, what were the things that you really enjoyed? And like you said, what drew you to the sticks that you have now?
It was the first fitting I've ever had. I had always bought things off the shelf, mostly the sale rack. And I went for a fitting and it was great because it was an on range fitting. So I was hitting out of a bay into a range so I could actually see full ball flight and everything like that. I wasn't just looking at a computer screen or looking at screen that I was hitting into if I was at a sim. And we did irons first, then we worked into driver. And then really the reason why I never got fitted for the 3-wood was like I was beating balls for 2.5 hours and it was a spring, so it wasn't super hot, but it was hot. I was sitting there dripping in the bay and he basically told me straight up with the 3-wood. He was like, you hit this 3-wood really well and you're just tired. I'm not getting good numbers off of it. So why don't we just hold off on the 3-wood and then whenever you feel like you need it, come back, I'll fit you for free and we'll get you what you need. But I enjoyed the fitting process. I think that it was great. I went from I was swinging a golf club that was 85 grams and I went all the way up to 130. And he said, really?
Yeah, shout out to Larry at Westfield Fitting Studios. That's actually, I think I've been going to him for almost 10 years now. And I think when you were going through this process, I remember you taking recommendations from people, and that was a guy, he's spoken very highly with a lot of people we know. And the best thing about him is anytime you go there and you do go through him to purchase whatever, he gives you, he'll look up anywhere, give you the same low rate. And he also says, you come back to me, it's taken care of. So I don't know how many times I've been able to go back to him for just different things here and there. Maybe a couple more times than you, but like I said, we'll get into me later. Modifications. And I know that's one thing. Like I said, you get to go back and tinker things. Have you ever gone back to him to have him look at what you're swinging or what other, you know, modifications that you've done on your own? I know one we did this past January, right? Or was that last January? Down at Myrtle Beach.
Which one?
Where you decided to change all your grips out.
Yeah.
Was that this year? Was that last year?
That was last year. That was last year.
Okay, last year.
Everybody thought I was going to do it again this year because I couldn't break 100, but no. Yes, I did change out. I did switch from a standard grip, and I regripped all of my clubs, including my wedges, to the MCC Plus 4 mid-size grips. And I don't regret this change because I still have my old set of clubs in the garage. And every time I grab one, it feels like I'm grabbing a toothpick.
Okay. Yeah, that's, like I said, something that I play as well, too. I went from the Plus 4 back to just standard mid-size, but definitely it's something. I still remember we walked in there and it was like kid in a candy shop. They said they could do it in an hour and it took your whole bag. And like you had to make two trips to the car to get everything, but we got it all in. And
no, I think I was so frustrated. I just brought my entire bag in and then I had to take the bag back out to the car when they said it was.
It wouldn't hold on to that. All right. So speaking of, let's get away from the equipment things, but when we're talking about what's in your bag, what are some essentials that you actually have in your golf bag that are not your clubs and your golf balls?
Believe it or not, having listened, if any listeners listened to the last, I don't know what, 17, 18 episodes, okay. I do have tees in there.
That's
and
good.
I have started to use.
Only for driver.
I have started to use tees again. Don't know if there's a difference, but there is. If Nag's Head Golf Links, they have two par threes that are like 115. And if I'm hitting a 54 degree there, I'm not using a tee. I don't use tee on that. But I have used tees. I'm using tees now in par threes. As much as everybody tells me that it's stupid to not use tees, I do believe somebody has dropped a ball in a PGA event on the tee. And
So hold on here. You sent me a text message this weekend. Well, I sent you another one. I actually took the family to the Solheim Cup right down the road this year, and I was following Nelly Korda and Charlie Hall playing on Friday, and I texted you, I have to let you know that Charlie Hall played the par threes without a tee. Now, I don't know if it was all of them. It was the one that we were right there, very close. And then I did follow that up, but they are also playing off carpet, which we don't play off of as good a course as over at RTJ. So she didn't just drop it and play it. She did lay it there. It just didn't have a tee underneath. But Nelly, who's the number one player in the world, did use a tee. So for the ladies,
That my game's quite at the world ranking yet.
No, you're probably ranked in the world, just...
Nobody is scrolling to page 975.
And it's the only time where seven figures is really good. And maybe the one time where we have seven figures next to our name in some sort of account. So tease, what else you got?
Other things, I got plenty of balls all the time. For some reason why I'm trying to figure out my game, I lose plenty of balls and or I just don't feel like finding them. If I get really... Other things in my bag, I do have a rain jacket shirt that kind of sucks. I'm in the market for a new one and might actually drop some money on one. I do have a set of rain gloves that I had to break out in major number 4. And rangefinder, I have a V4 Bushnell. I do not have slope on it. That was an
upgrade to come.
I don't know. That Bushnell was a gift from the in-laws. I would have to talk them back into buying another one for me. I don't know if I got that kind of coin. And then other things, koozies are a key. Drinks cold.
Is there any Lucky Charms in your bag? Something that you like a personal item or a Lucky Charm?
Right now, I had my Steelers coin, but everybody kept complaining that it was too big. So I changed it up and I threw some quarters in there. But then now my little lucky ball marker is now the five pesos coin that I found at Disney World when I was with my family this summer. It was on the ground. I was waiting in line and I saw it and I was like, oh, what's this? And I was like, you know what? That's going to make a great ball marker. So I took that and that's my little thing. But as far as good luck charms, no, I do have a glove that is signed by a good friend of mine. I'll just say RP. He is a great golfer, and I do believe this might have been after a club championship where he was just kind of Jugging playing up. A game, but he signed his glove and said, "Stay focused," and I do have that glove in the bottom of my bag.
It would have been a better story if you were watching him and he hit you on the fairway with a wayward drive and then came up to you and signed his glove.
I will say, if RP hit me with a wayward drive, that would be more of a shock to me than me hitting a 30-foot putt to win major number 5.
Pros hit people all the time. They're pros. I thought you were going to get into, what about your unique head cover? Tell us about that.
Oh, the putter cover. I have normal head covers now. I haven't splurged and gone the your brother route with the wool socks on everything or anything. I am playing around with the idea of getting something special, but my putter cover is a Air Jordan off-white one that I happen to use as a putter cover. It's a baby shoe. It fits the mold. It's a Nike bag. And what better way to set your bag off with a nice little toddler shoe on there?
So to give I don't know if this is a true backstory, but this is what I remember. One, it's got orange laces, so it's very standout.
Well, it's off-white. Off-white is a very distinct look of sneaker. You're not a sneaker.
But it has orange laces.
Yes, that's part of off-white.
Yeah, I don't think so. My daughter's got off-white shoes, and they have white laces. Somebody took extra time to put orange laces
off-white shoes usually come with two sets of laces. They have a white set and an orange set.
I'm a Jordan fan, but I don't have Jordans. I'd rather splurge on putters. But,
or steal them.
Or, yeah. Hold on. It was handed.
It was a gift.
Anyways, the shoe was found, correct?
Yes, I did.
What's funny
I might not look for a ball, but if I find a putter cover or a toddler shoe on there, I'm going to take it.
What's funny is I know you found it probably on a golf course and it was there. And it was obviously that's what it purposed. But when you tell somebody you found an infant shoe and now you use it as a putter cutter, I almost feel like you were driving through the bad part of town. There just happened to be a shoe laying on the ground and you pulled over and you picked up the shoe. You don't, when you say you pulled over and picked it up, you were talking about out of a golf cart. I'm thinking it's out of the truck that you're going through and you
spotted it doing 65 down the hall.
It's got orange laces. You can spot it from anywhere.
Solid point.
You got it from anywhere. So I would say that's like one of your personal items or Lucky Charm items that you have, which is on the unique side.
I rock my Steelers golf towel. I have a Compass Point golf towel and I have a Gents Cup golf towel. And those are the three towels I carry with me. I do have a bag tag. It's my membership at Compass Point. Compass Point people, if you're listening, who cares? I don't live there, but I'm a member, so I'm happy about it.
There's always those options to be
a household member.
There you go. What advice can you give to somebody who's looking to put a bag together? Do you recommend the fitting? What are some things that you would do if you had to do it over again?
I think if you have the resources, aka money, to do it, being fitted is probably your best bet if you want to be successful. And buying stuff off the rack, that's great for a startup person. Don't buy the brand new stuff off the rack. Go buy a year or two older, figure out your swing with spending less money so that way you got more money to go play golf and go practice golf. And then once you actually get a swing down and you're enjoying the game and you're scoring decently, if once you can like break 100 legitimately, I would say getting fitted for equipment is going to do nothing but help your game, I think. I'm not a professional or anything, but I had the only time that I broke out and actually had some of my best rounds, the rounds in the 70s and stuff, were once I got fitted and I had my fitted equipment. I wasn't sniffing 70s when I was probably a solid. I think the best round I had prior to being fitted was probably an 88. Post-fitting, I had probably a great 2 years of solid scoring. And then somehow I've just gone downhill from there. But maybe that's a sign that I need to go get fitted again. And
it's never the swing. It's always new clubs.
Yeah, yeah, you know, it's not my $1 swing with a $500 driver. Who knows? My big daddy is supposedly gifting me with a little bit of something. It's not much, but that's where my idea for lessons came from. My dad always talked about mad money. Those people that are married probably understand this, but he always called his mad money the money that my mom didn't know about. And that was in his account, and he could spend it any way he wanted to. Not that I'm hiding this money from my wife.
There we go.
Right? Laura, if you're listening.
Hopefully she's not listening.
But it's going to be my money to spend. It's not much at all. It's less than I got my first bag fitting for. But if I choose to go a different direction, I might just go see Larry again and see if I can tweak some stuff on my clubs. If I hit some new stuff and I can get it affordably, then maybe I make a big change. But right now, I think I'm more so going to go the route of probably talking to somebody that knows what the heck they're doing and not, once again, not trying to change my swing to the point where it looks perfect. I'm not going to try and get that perfect, like, on-camera swing where everybody thinks it looks perfect. I just want to get a repeatable swing that I know exactly my ball flight, I know exactly my contact, and I can repeat it over and over again. I don't care if I lose yardage off the tee. I don't care if I have to club up. But I just want to play like consistent golf. I want to go out there and know what swing I have and know what's going to come after it.
Yeah, you and everybody else.
Yes.
Wants the same thing. Yeah, wants the same thing. One thing I would mention when it comes to fittings is I don't necessarily think it's that much more to get a fitting. I know. If you purchase the items through them, the fitting part is included. It's just a time thing and learning and beginning to understand the knowledge of what technology can do. In the long run, does it cost probably a little bit more? Yes. But I think it's just like anything in life. You are paying a little bit for proven technology, proven quality.
And something that's geared towards you.
And they have, like you said, like even Odyssey with the putter, there was a mistake, a blem, whatever happened. And a lot of times these companies, they have the money to afford to fix things that go wrong. I know I would recommend it in a heartbeat, and it sounds like you would as well too. Is there anything that you would read? Let's take budget now. Obviously, if you listen to the show, you hear about us talking about our classes and different things. And if you don't put it together, that we both are teachers. So budget is part of our lives. Let's take that completely out of it. Is there any upcoming/releases that you know about or technology that you would be considered to go look at, go swing, go test, go try? Brands included. If it's a brand, if it's a commercial that catches your eye.
Brand specific, no. I would really actually, and as much as I love, my irons are killing me right now. I am 25%. I'm hitting great shots with my irons. And granted, that goes day to day, round to round with me. Someday, like my driver, which was the biggest problem in the world, is probably my most consistent club right now.
25% of your greens you're hitting. So you're pretty right on when you're talking about hitting 25% good shots. Yeah. You want to say hitting a green is a good shot.
Right.
But you know what I'm talking about.
But I would be open to changing my irons in a heartbeat. And once again, taking the 4 hybrid out of the bag. Like I actually really do like my 3 hybrid, the Ping G410. And I would be very open to getting a new set of irons that is a true 4 iron through gap wedge, and or if it's through pitching wedge, I would be fine with going and getting a gap wedge from like an SM9 or an SM10.
Okay. Yeah, I disagree with you on that, but we'll talk about that when it gets to my clubs with the gap
wedge. Well, you love the true set. We've had this conversation off air where
I never was loaded that way until I actually got one that was consistent throughout. And if you're hitting something more consistent, more forgiving, if you can take it up to that, I'd almost would take mine through sand wedge and lob wedge if I could. But when you start going through bunkers and different things and different that, but anyway, that's a, we could have that discussion for another 20 minutes. So one more question for you to round out the round of what's in your bag. If you were playing in a 3-club challenge tomorrow, what 3 clubs are you taking with you?
How long is the course?
And why?
How long is the course?
And why? We'll say your course, South Ryan.
Okay. 3 clubs only, or is it like one of those typical three clubs nope. and a putter?
3 clubs only. All right. I've played in one and it didn't include putter, so that's what I'm going
to do. All right. All right. I would take 5 iron because I could putt with that. Worst case scenario. I would take 7 iron and pitching wedge.
Okay.
Or the only other thing that I would do would be 3 hybrid, 7 iron, pitching wedge. But I feel like on some par fours, if I hit 3 hybrid, I'd be way short to the point where a pitching wedge would be way too long and I'd have to be taking way too much off of it. Could hit some punch sevens. That's a tough one on the fly, but I'll stick with the, with as much as I just complained about my irons, I'm going to switch it up. I'm going to go 3 hybrid because I can putt with that too. 7 iron and pitching wedge.
And stick with the ice. Just come back with the pitching wedge this time instead of the 9X. Yes. Shout out to Happy Gilmore. Or Billy Madison.
Yes,
I'm sorry.
It's Billy Madison. Veronica Vaughn.
Veronica Vaughn. All right. So that's it. That's all I got. What's in the bag of Greg? And next week, we will get back together. We'll go through the reverse. We'll find out what sticks that I have been playing for a little over a year, or right about a year now, per se. And hopefully we will be continuing up with our fitness and our workouts. I know I got to do that every morning. I know you've been trying to get to that 1 mile challenge. Back in the swing of things, get back into your workouts. But until next time, I hope everybody fights strong. See you on the 9th green at 9.